Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today, on the broadcast, we are going to continue our current series of studies on the model prayer given by the Lord to His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, which is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I think I shall just read it as our theme verse or our theme scripture during this short series of meetings, or a short series of studies, rather, on this wonderful prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave them this prayer as a model prayer, a prayer to follow after, a prayer that ordered these elements as God likes us to pray. First of all, as we considered on our last broadcast, we have the introduction to the prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, Our Father, which is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we need to be persons of reverence when we go into the presence of God. And then, today, we want to consider that next phrase, thy kingdom come. And we need to be persons of faith to receive that kingdom that is coming. Christ is coming to establish his kingdom on this earth. He was rejected as a king when he came to this earth 1900 and almost 2,000 years ago now. He was rejected. But he is coming back again, and he's going to establish that kingdom, and we must look forward to it. This world is in for a great shock. Christ is coming to reign. They put him on a cross, and they sent him out of this world in that cruel, agonizing death of crucifixion. But he's coming back. And he could be on that throne as soon as 7 years from now. Now, I'm not going to go into the prophetic details of what I just said, but I hope I've stirred your curiosity to realize that Christ is coming back to this earth. He's coming back to the air first to rapture away his church from all the tribulation that shall come on the earth. But he's coming nevertheless to establish his kingdom, and the child of faith will pray, indeed, thy kingdom come. And so we're going to consider that today, and we're going to consider, first of all, God's promise to David through Nathan that there was a king going to reign of the seed of David. In the 7th chapter of 2 Samuel, David is musing. He's in his house alone, and it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said to Nathan, the prophet, of course, Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan said to the king, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David had in mind building a suitable abode for that wonderful ark where the glory of God resided. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Solomon had a better concept. He says, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house that I have built. Solomon was headed as Father David in this respect. And David was rebuked. The Lord just did rebuke David in this sense. Now we read in verse 8, now therefore shalt thou say unto my servant David, after the Lord gave Nathan a message, say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies, and out of thy sight and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are on the earth. And then skipping down to verse 12, we read there, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, thy progeny, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And then, of course, we read that there was failure in the house of David. This great king that is coming, we have mentioned a little farther on, verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That would be the king that is going to reign, and he is the posterity of David. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly travel throughout this world, and his earthly visitations to the men, he was continually referred to as the Son of David, the Son of David. And then there's the promise to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verses 30 to 35. We read there, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee should be called the Son of God. Isaiah promised that this seed would come. We read in chapter 7 of Isaiah, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, above and beyond this, he confirms all the promises that are made to us in the Scripture by his own divine statements. He describes his coming. He describes it back in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be when he comes back to reign. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And then in the very next chapter, the Lord in the most majestic tones sets before us his coming and his act, his first act. In verse 31 of the 25th chapter of Matthew, in the first act performed in the kingdom, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is our Lord speaking. that this is not a prophet. This is the prophet, God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a prophet, a priest, and a king. And he speaks of his coming in glory. Now, we must reconcile this with a few other things. The nation rejected their king and crowned him with crowns. I think it is so remarkable that when the high priest delivered the Lord Jesus Christ, high priest and the elders and the Pharisees delivered him, they didn't want him. He did not come with the pomp and the circumstances that they expected. They didn't really know who he was. He came claiming to be the Messiah, and they rejected him. They said it couldn't be. They were looking for something that was grand. Well, now they didn't realize that Christ did not come in his pomp and glory that Israel expected for a reason. God knew he would be rejected, and his rejection permitted God to carry out the plan of salvation and blessing to the Gentiles. Now, we read in Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul takes note of this wonderful fact. And we read in chapter 11 of the book of Romans, and verse 25, if you please. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, Israel was blind when they crucified their Savior. Blindness in part, but just not forever. But they were blind, and they crucified their king. We read on, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. And then he reads, then we read in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God has not changed his mind concerning the nation of Israel. He is going to restore them to himself, and he's going to rule over that nation, and he will come in the pomp and circumstances that they expected. But oh, how they have missed out in the meantime. And then the Lord, of course, was crucified. Listen to Pilate when he tells them at that time of crucifixion. They cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And they crowned him with thorns, our Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, time would not permit us to cover the prophetic ground between the time when the church is raptured until Christ comes to reign. We cannot do it in the short space of time allotted to this broadcast. Our Father, today we thank you for that bright and blessed hope, thy kingdom come. It is the mark of faith to believe you and to believe the prophets. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen.